Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad to be with you today. It's another day the Lord has given us, and I was reading in the Bible where it says, well, if the grapes vines don't produce grapes, and there's general disaster all around, it says we will still rejoice in the Lord who is our strength. And so we can rejoice that Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, and that he's the living God. He's alive and well. He has all power in heaven and earth, and we can rejoice in that. And so we need to rejoice. We need to talk about it. We need to think about it. We have an interesting program today, and I want to make some comments today on what public broadcasting has mentioned about Jesus that I just read recently, and what they have to say and what God has to say in the Bible. And we have some prophecy if we can get to it. We only have short time, and we're going to try to get through a lot of things today, but we're going to start off with our wonderful section on science in the Bible.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and good to be with you again. Want to mention, too, as we get to this, that you check out Bruce online at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com, and you can find past programs there, a little bit about Bruce and some other materials and some links to some of the materials Bruce has mentioned from time to time. And also, just a real quick mention here, again, that there is for Spanish-speaking brothers and sisters in the Cleveland area. I mentioned this real quick before we forget. The Spanish department at Cleveland Baptist Church is hosting their annual missions revival. This is Friday, April 28th through Sunday, April 30th, with evangelist Carlos Cacon from Lafayette, Illinois. And he's going to be preaching about missions and importance of missions in our church and our lives. And that's Friday at 7, Saturday, that's Friday the 20, April 28th at 7, Saturday, April 29th, 9:30 a.m., 10:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 12 p.m. Lunch at 3:30, lunch, and then 3:30 p.m., another session there. Sunday, 10 a.m., main service at 11, evening service at 6 p.m., you can go to clevelandbaptist.org, clevelandbaptist.org, and you can find out more information about this, or you can contact the Spanish pastor, Jose Duarte, at 216-671-2822. That's 216-671-2822, and you can check that out. We'll be talking about that on our program on Fridays as well. And so check that out, clevelandbaptist.org, the Spanish ministry. All right. Sorry we couldn't read the entirety of that today. Time, like Bruce said, is short. We got a couple things I want to mention. And let me just mention something real quick here. In the Bible, we have where Paul warns Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20 and 21. He says, "So Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen." You know, we live in a day when if a scientist says it or they have a scientific study, everybody believes the science or the scientist or the scientific study rather than the Bible. It just seems like today people are predisposed to accept what the latest scientific study is and throw out the Bible without hesitation. Now, as a Bible-believing Christian, I believe our first idea ought to be to go with the Bible and give God's word the benefit of the doubt, because true science and the Bible do not contradict each other. It's oppositions of science falsely so-called that Paul warned Timothy about. And let me just give you a couple things, and there's just so many things that we could say here, but these are things that supposedly science had proved. Science was sure of these things, and And one of my favorites, since I have a biology degree, is spontaneous generation. You know, I can remember all the way back in junior high school learning why spontaneous generation didn't happen and how it was disproved by Louis Pasteur and his famous experiment with the flasks of and that he used. But prior to this, people believed that life just sort of appeared. He had a pile of rags in the corner, and mice would spontaneously appear in there. And if you had a piece of meat that was left and as it's decaying, all of a sudden spontaneously maggots would appear in it, just spontaneous. And so the idea of spontaneous generation, that complex life forms just appear. And this was believed up until the time Louis Pasteur disproved this. And he showed beyond a shadow of a doubt that this does not happen. You say, well, why would scientists have believed that? Well, because it explained how life could get here without God. And you know what? They still believe it, even though it's been disproved. They still believe it because in order to believe in evolution, you have to believe that somewhere along the line, the first cell, the first living organism spontaneously appeared from non-living organizations. And that was just one thing. And then there was another theory, maternal impression. The mother's thoughts creates birth defects. If the mother has bad thoughts when she's pregnant, her child will have birth defects. And you know, there's the recapitulation theory, the statement ontology recapitulates phylogeny, and everybody gets that, right? But basically what that's saying is that the development of the embryo from conception to birth goes through the stages of evolution leading up to that. Now, that was put out disproven almost as soon as it was put out, but I'll guarantee if you look at your children's biology textbooks, if they go to public high school, they're going to find that in there. What the guy did is he falsified his drawings to make it look like the embryo went through the fish stage and the amphibian stage and the reptile stage and the mammal stage before, you know, and then lost the tail and everything before becoming a human baby. Nonsense. And it's been disproven for over 100 years. And we can go on and on. I'm not going to. But my point is...
Excuse me. Do you remember the name that they call that? A big fancy word.
Recapitulation theory, or the idea, as I said, ontology recapitulates phylogeny. Yeah. That's the name of the theory, basically. And it's amazing.
If you want to put over a lie, just throw a big word at it.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned that when I was in high school, there was making the rounds, and maybe you've seen this before. Somebody had this table. And you thought of a three-digit number like 569, and then you looked on the table, and it would give you a series of words that meant absolutely nothing. And you could throw it into your report, and it would sound good. And we did that, and I actually got some good grades because I guess the teacher looked at that and thought, wow, that's impressive. I think that's what he did there. Haeckel was the guy's name. I think he had one of those charts, and he just came up with, 666, and he came up with ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny, maybe. Any rate, but these things have been around, and just because the scientists are set, it must be so. Give them a few years, and it'll probably be the opposite for those of us old enough to remember the Ice Age coming in the 70s, remember? And then all of a sudden, global warming, because the Ice Age didn't come. But it changes. That's why we stick with the Word of God. God's Word, the Bible says, endures how long?
Forever.
So science, the oppositions were to avoid the science, or I'm sorry, the oppositions of science, falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith.
Of course, that's been changed in the modern versions.
Well, they have a vested interest in changing that.
Whenever it hits them right between the eyes, they change it.
So I thought this is interesting. I'm going to try and get together a longer list of some of these things, but those are just a very few, I mean, hundreds of things like that.
Well, that's very interesting. Well, we're talking again about the reason we have the program. First of all, I want to greet the folks that are listening to us from France. We had quite a list of people that hit us on the website, over 100 people that start listening to the program, and we appreciate you listening wherever you are in the world, but particularly today we'll recognize those that are from France. Maybe I got a agent over there. Mark Gosselin is a missionary over there, so maybe he's told some of the people about it, but we got over, 150 hits on our website. What was that? But anyway, just in the last few weeks from France, so we appreciate you listening to us, and I believe that they had the Levitan Bible. Is that the one that they used? I think so.
I'm not sure.
But when we uphold the King James, we're upholding translations also in many different languages around the world. And we mentioned many times in the past that at Pentecost, it wasn't a revival of Babel. It was a reversal of Babel. And they were given the languages of people from around the world at that time. And God Almighty gave them the gift of tongues, which is very simply, he translated his words into the different languages back then. And just like in the Old Testament, why the prophets spoke the language and then it was written down. And so Paul had the gift of tongues or the gift of languages and then it was written down. And so when that was around, God gave him translations to many of these ancient languages. And then God preserved those translations. And finally, the King James translators themselves translated these different languages into the English. And these languages, the true text is called the Received Text, Textus Receptus. You see it in the Syriac Peshitta, the old italic text that came out long before Jerome's text. And the Syriac Peshitta, as we just said, and the Koine Greek and so on. And they make up what is called the Received Text and the King James translators. Now, we believe that God preserved it through them. The Bible says, with men of other tongues will I speak unto this people. So God gave languages, and he certainly is involved in translating them. And the Bible says, the word of God liveth and abideth forever. And Brother Al showed me this illustration. You take water, and it's in a cup, and you pour it into another cup, still the same water. And the word of God is taken and poured into another language, it's still the word of God. And, you know, everywhere in the Bible it says, thy word have I hid my heart. Now, the problem is today, although these Bible schools are teaching that God, we have the word of God, they talk like they have it, but then when you get down to it, they say no translation is inspired. Well, if it's the word of God, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. If it's scripture, it's inspired. And thy word have I hid my heart. So if it's the word of God, it's inspired. What's that mean? It has the life of God in it. And the Bible says God would preserve his words. Just recently on television, a minister, he's distributing Bibles, but he has his comments in there, and he says, it should have been so-and-so. So he's saying that the translation is wrong. And he's listening to Kenneth Wiest, and Kenneth Wiest is following some of the corrupt lexicons, that's Greek-English dictionaries from the last century. And he's following Kenneth Wiest nuggets that he is using. So he's correcting the Bible. And it's interesting that I mentioned before, Kenneth Wiest says, if you read the King James, he says in one place, you're reading what God says, but then he corrects it. Well, if he corrects it by simple logic, he's smart enough to correct God if it's the word of God. And that's what God said, and he corrects it, then he's correcting God. And so preachers are reading him, and this particular preacher brags on Kenneth Wiest, and then he corrects it, and he's calling it the word of God, and then he corrects it, see? So the guy that corrects it, then we can't say in the Bible it says, in thy word do I trust. We can't say anymore, in thy word do I trust. We have to say, if we believe in the corrector, in Joe, Dick, and Harry, do I trust. Whoever corrects it, in him do I trust. And people do that, you know, and they follow him. They believe what the correctors say. But God says, the words of the Lord are pure words. The silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. And Jesus said, he says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. God has said that he would keep them and that they're pure. If you correct them, then they're not pure. And, you get people, even evangelists and so on, that sometimes they preach very good, and many things that they say are very good, but then they correct God's word. You know, it reminds me of Peter. He says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. So he stands for Christ and says the word of God. But then shortly after that, Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan. And preachers that correct it, they're doing the work of the devil. Jesus said, it is written. Jesus never corrected the word of God. He never said that the Jews in his day, he said they made it no effect by their traditions. And people do that today when they say only the originals are inspired. Oh, my goodness. Then we don't have the word of God. If it's the word of God, it's Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are truth. They are spirit and they are life. And so it says that there's no errors in them. And what they're doing, and I'm telling you today, most Bible institutes, if you go to them, you're going to be taught that you do not have the word of perfect word of God today. They'll say in the Greek or the originals or something. Well, there's all kinds of Greek texts. There's all kinds of Greek-English dictionaries put out by a bunch of heathens that are unsaved. You know, I'm going to read something here today that a famous writer, Greek textual writer, he makes these statements. And I want to read some of the statements that he makes. He says here, he accuses Christians, and this is Thayer. If you study Greek, you've heard of Thayer. He accuses Christians of blind sense of reverence and a bondage to literalism. He adds, ought not our theory of inspiration to be reconstructed, according to Thayer, he concludes of the Bible record, all the records, to be sure, are of a secondary character. No one of them has his God's personal endorsement or authentication. Their very number and differences seem wisely designed by divine providence to preclude bondage to the letter. Jesus said that not one or jot or tittle shall pass from the law till it's all fulfilled. Jesus said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. So he criticizes people that believe the Bible is the word of God. Here he says again, Christianity has laid a disproportionate emphasis on the full and final character of the scriptural. Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me and my words, Jesus always connects his words with himself. He says, heaven and earth shall pass away, my words shall not pass away. And he calls this the exaggerated theory has been comparatively harmless in bygone days, but by reason of improved methods of philological study, of progress in science and discovery, accumulating results in archaeological and historical research, theory has come to occasion restless perplexity, at times not a little distressed, thoughtful souls. It has become yoke which they, like their fathers, are unable to bear. Well, he's unable to bear. But Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and a stranger will they not follow. You know, I will remind you that Daniel is considered one of the most upright men in the whole Bible. And yet after he was an interpreter that gave the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar bowed down and worshiped him. And Daniel didn't say, get up, like Peter said, when they went and bowed down before him. He just let the king do that, you know. And when a person corrects the word of God, they're saying the Bible is full of errors that we have. And, you know, these Bible schools, that no translation is inspired. What about the translation on the day of Pentecost? What about the translation that Moses made into the Hebrew of Pharaoh's words? What about the writers of the New Testament that translated the Old Testament into Greek? God said he'd preserve his words. Yes, we have an inspired Bible. The King James is inspired by God. You know, in Jesus' day, they were always criticizing him for everything he said and everything he did. And so it's not surprising that you have people today that criticize Jesus' words in the King James Bible. They criticize Jesus, so they criticize his words in the King James Bible. And the Bible says that for envy, they delivered him. They're envious of a book. They want to be the authority. You know, if you recommend Bibles that contradict one another, how do you find out what the truth is? Well, you go to them. They become the authority. Can't you understand that? They become the authority. But Jesus said, thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. And the Bible says the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth, even the word of faith which we preach. So God's word is near us, in our heart and in our mouth. That's the one that we've got memorized in the past. And I would recommend that most Bible institutes, you ask them, you say, now James says we can look at the perfect law of liberty, and ask them this, because most of the time they're deceptive. They don't want to admit to the people what they really believe. Say, do you believe the King James Bible is the perfect word of God? Ask them that and see what they say. They can't say that. And if they do, a lot of them would be lying, because they've been secretly undermining it and attacking it. And listen, I've been teaching young men for the ministry for 30 years. I've read all the books that I can. I know what they're teaching. I know that they're attacking it. And they undermine it, so when it's left, you don't have anything. Now, D.L. Moody said, for Christian unity, we should accept the Bible as it is, meaning the King James Bible. Spurgeon said anybody that corrects it, he calls them popelings for correcting it. Billy Sunday said, if scholarship disagrees with the Bible, scholarship can go plumb to the devil. Finney said, I've never been felt qualified to correct it. You know, these are men that God used in a tremendous way. They knew where the Word of God is. And thank God, there are Bible institutes around where they will not correct it. They believe that they have the Word of God. I think I'll just mention a few of them today. You can go to Massillon Baptist Temple. They have a wonderful Bible school there that I've taught in, and they know, and they will never correct the King James Bible. They know where it's at. Pastor Kesey has a Bible school over in Elyria, and they won't correct it over there. Pastor Folger, Cleveland Baptist Church, they know where the Word of God is in the King James Bible. You'll never hear it corrected. But unfortunately, all they will do in a lot of Bible schools is just pull the rug out from you, and they say the originals. Well, they don't have the originals. They say the Greek, and they don't even know what Greek text they're talking about. Talked to a man that studied Greek for 4 years in a leading fundamental school. He says, well, I believe in the Greek text. I says, well, what Greek text are you using? He didn't even know. I mean, Nestle's has now, I think it's up to about 47 editions of the scripture. And, you know, I agree with one of the past pastors of Moody Bible Institute. His name was Logsdon. And Logsdon said that he believed the King James is a perfect translation. And now the Lachman Foundation is trying to disassociate himself for it, because he was on the committee that got the men together for the new ASV, and he's totally repudiated it. But Logsdon stated, and you could read it, he believes King James is a perfect translation. I had a teacher at Moody named Dr. Alfred Martin. He was in charge of the executive vice president at the time of the all the schools that were outside of Chicago. And he taught the class, and he wrote a book defending the King James Bible. We could say today, thy word is truth. And God says, I'll honor my word above all my name. King James has been honored more than all books that were ever written. Sold 5 billion copies. We've got to have the word of God. We have it today. And when you read it, you are reading what God says. And it's your evidence that you have eternal life. It's the proof that when you die, you're going to heaven, because the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus died for our sins, rose from the dead, went back to heaven, and he stated in his word, if you call on me as Lord and Savior, you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And we have our salvation in black and white. We can be assured of it, because we have God's Word in the Authorized King James Bible. Well, God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.